All right. So once upon a time, I taught a sermon once, and it was so long ago. It seemed like forever. It was actually 4 weeks ago. And and I've had 4 weeks off, and it's been awesome. Not that teaching's a burden, because it's not. I love teaching. But it's been really cool to sit back and, like, say, God, I feel like he's the quarterback, and I've just started running. Like, where's the ball coming? You know, like, just keep running, right? And then this event happens this week that, like, totally shakes things up in us, right? And it was very, like, can I just say the word Pentecostal? It was. It was like Pentecostal fire, right? Dumped on. And we're non-denominational, so this was like, for what we are, they were like us times 10 in intensity, which was both cool and, like, right? And you find yourself 1 minute being like, this is awesome, and the next minute, like, I've never seen that. Whoa, right? And so we just called today's sermon, what the heck just happened? Because it's probably my coolest title yet. Because this is so cool to really talk about this. God met us in so many awesome ways. Like, to see the way hungry people, and that's all of you, approach the front shamelessly and just ask for him to meet you at the altar was so cool. It was like a privilege for me to stand behind you because I wasn't sure if people were going to fall over. Can I say that? I don't believe in pushing, but heck, if it happens, that means the Holy Spirit is on you, right? And and it's been a long time. It's been like 15 years since I've been in an environment where people just like, right? I came from the South. I guess people in the South have weaker knees. Because in Florida, man, I mean, it could be possible that a guy could walk by and he didn't even say anything. And someone's like, you know, oh, just leave him there, right? It's okay. I used to get bothered by it when I was a kid because I would never fall over. I could be the one guy in the room where everybody fell over except for me. And I'd just be looking around, there's bodies everywhere. And I'm like, what are you doing? Let the bodies hit the floor. there, you know, and I was like, God, why aren't you touching me? Is it a sign of you don't love me? And he taught me a certain compassion because it taught me that there's no more spiritual, you know, connection between you and the Father if you fall or don't fall, if you have a gift or don't have a gift, an expression or no expression, right? It doesn't matter, but it taught me how to actually accept the love of the Father while I was the only guy, the shy guy, standing in a room full of bodies, right? And it's important we talk about this because, man, there were things happening all around the room, and you might be disturbed. You might think it was awesome. And there's part of us that were thinking, why couldn't that happen to me like that? Frankly, it doesn't have anything to do with how much or how little God loves you. He just absolutely loves you. Right? And he knows what you need. And then, you know, I finally got what I wished one day. I walked up to the stage, kind of like this one, to give the pastor a bottle of water. And he just, like, put his hand on me, and he just said something about the Holy Spirit. And I fell, and I actually was, like, laying halfway down the stairs and halfway up the stairs. And being a shy guy, my head is on the floor, my body's up here, and my legs are across the stage, and I'm stuck. And I had to stay there for, like, 20 minutes. Thinking, man, I just wish, why couldn't I have fallen face down? Because, you know what I mean? And then there's the part of you that says the love of God has nothing to do with what happens to you when he hits, right? I mean, he's just touching us, and we have to be willing to let go of the control. That doesn't mean you have no self-control. It just means, you know, like it happened to Saul in his lifetime, you know, and I'm not talking about Saul as in Paul, but Saul as in the first king of Israel. It happened to him several times. I mean, the one time he stripped off all his clothes and lay naked for 3 days and prophesied. Gross. If that happens, we're removing you or we're throwing stuff over you. Right? So I'm not advocating for that, please. I'm just saying there are these things that we cannot explain that are in the scriptures. Right? Okay, all right. In the book of Acts, you know, it was 9 a.m. when the Holy Spirit fell on the upper room, right? And the accusation, what was the accusation of these people? That they were drunk at 9 a.m., really? What do 120 people drunks act like together at a party? Yes, I see that hand jungle. So the accusation shows that sometimes the Holy Spirit falls in a way where people are like, I do not know how to define this, so I'm going to go with drunk for 200, please. Right? There's just no other way. Again, not advocating. If it happens, it happens. If you break out in holy laughter or start whatever, swaying or stumbling, okay, it happens. I'm not advocating for it. I'm not forcing it. I'm not saying you're not a spiritual if you get it. I'm not saying you're not spiritual if you do, okay? It just happened. And I think the most important piece that I really feel we need to honor among us as we talk about what just happened is love. Because I'm not willing to split off relationship with any one of you because we disagree on any point. Yeah? I'd rather you tell me I'm wrong and for me to just swallow it and still maintain relationship with you than to have to say to you, oh, I'm right, and here's the three scriptural points that I can point to you and let you know why you're wrong, and then you just, like, see ya. Right? Amen. Whew, thank you. So can I just open up 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26? And unfortunately, I don't have a slide with the opening. I just felt like I needed to open on this one, okay? So I'm going to read it to you out of my Bible. It's page 935, and it's yellow. So 1 Corinthians 14, verse 7. I just got to find it. The older I get, the smaller my Bible becomes. I just screwed that one up. I'm sorry. What's that? 1426. I was reading something else. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize what I'm saying. When you meet, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in an unknown language, while another will interpret what is said. Here's what I really want to grab. But everything that is done must be useful to all and build them up in the Lord. And so what I really want to get to that when I said it's got to be about love is, you know, we can encounter these things together. And I would say as we buckle up and we look at each other, we say we're going to go on some pretty awesome adventures together as long as we can hold to that mutual love and respect with each other. But it's going to build each other up, right? And so if you get touched, I'm getting touched because I want to see God move on your life, right? And if I get touched, you guys, you can cheer me on, right? And I think we should go on this thing together as a body and that we should say we are in this thing for each other. Now, some of it might be a little strange, as in that meeting. I want you to know it is not my goal for us to become more weird. If it happens, no, I get it. And I'm willing to say, Holy Spirit, whatever your agenda is, I'm open. I'm in, and I will not shut it down, right? The Lord said, do not resist the Holy Spirit. So commitment here will not resist the Spirit. But I don't want to pattern, model, engineer, and force anything just because I want to look more like someone else. So why is that significant? Because I felt in the of the room during the last week, some of you, probably 10 of you, saying, are you trying to become more like this, Daryl? Are you trying to make River more like this, right? I'm just enjoying the Holy Spirit, man. Right? Are you trying not to? I mean, like, what are you like? Well, what are we trying here? We're not trying anything. We're just engaging the Holy Spirit, right? And when He happens to do whatever He wants, great. I've never left this church on a gathering that we've had and said, "Wow, that was horrible," and I just, you know. Even if it was some of the most simplest service where, you know, nothing happened in a big miraculous way, I was still like, wow, that was great. I was so happy. Right? So simple's fine. It doesn't bother me. When things go cool and miracles happen, great. I'm happy there too. You know what I mean? I think we just need to, as we approach, as we're driving, you know, and as you're screaming at the kids and as you're trying to find that lost shoe at the same time as going through the drive-thru, you're also praying, Holy Spirit, what do you want today? Open up my heart And also prepare me to be a contributor to that cause. Because Holy Spirit, if you want to say something through me, and that's the thing that liberates or heals another person, then I want that. So use me and open my heart at the same time. All else is whatever you want. Know what I mean? I tend to love to be supernaturally natural, which means you may never even know that I'm actually prophesying to you. I'm just talking at you. And you're like, oh, I think that was God. And I'm like, cool. Right? There's no need to be like, thus saith the Lord, right? You can, but you don't have to. I like to just be natural because, you know, I just felt like Jesus was like that. Jesus, you know, he walks up to the woman at the well and he's like, yeah, no, you're right. You know, you've been married 5 times. Yeah. He didn't say, thus saith the Lord, right? And then she's the one who ran around the town saying, come meet the man who told me everything I ever did, right? But he didn't prophesy from a, you know, so you'll find that for me, and I think that will kind of be the nature of the room. It tends to be. But man, if you feel like God's speaking, just say, I feel like God is speaking, and just let it be. Let it on the table. Now, some churches do like to have an elder in the middle, right? So what happens is, before you take the mic, you have to go talk to an elder. The elder gets to listen, and they say whether it's God or not. And then if it's God, they let the person take the mic. We tend not to do that here. Now, that's good, and it's bad, right? Here's why it's good. You don't have to lose the moment talking with someone. Why it's bad? You are completely accountable for what you say. Right. Now, the scriptures say, let one man speak, and the rest of the room has to judge. Well, you pick up the mic, you're now under judgment. No, don't be afraid, but they're picking at what you say. So then here's my next request. Out of love and mutual respect for each other, can we be a church who eats the meat and spits out the bones? Yes. The alternative is we don't do chicken here. Huh? Yeah. So my thought is let someone attempt and let them make a mistake if they need to. Let it be innocent, let it be loving and supportive, and we can spit out some of those bones, and we can even help guide where those things that we're setting correctly are, you know, just a little incorrect or unbiblical, right? Yeah. I'd rather, like, we'll discover and arrive there together rather than, you know, feeling like you have to have your stuff all together and your ducks completely in a row before you're allowed to share, okay? If it becomes a problem, like a real problem, you'll see that we'll have to institute some protection to, you know what I mean? But I think we all look at each other, we're like, we're just ordinary people and we're cool, right? We're all learning. Yeah, every one of us. Okay, before we go any deeper, I would love to hear a couple of things that may have happened in a good way to anybody during the time, you know, the five services. I think, Asa, you wanted to start?
Yeah, I do.
Who?
Let me.
You want to stand up?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. I'm Aislinn. Okay, so I have this open wound on the back of my leg. I mean, it's been bad. And so last Friday, it opened up and it was pretty bad. So Saturday, I went to the ER. Because David was hiking, and the ER doctor looked at it, and he said, I see necrotic tissue here. That means it's dead, rotting, decaying, it's bad. And so come back tomorrow. And so I did. I came back Sunday morning very, very early so I wouldn't miss church. And so they cut the bandage off and cleaned it. And second doctor, yep, I'm seeing necrotic tissue here. I want you in the wound care specialist tomorrow. And so I called wound care and they said, we can't see you until Tuesday. So I came in Tuesday and the wound care specialist surgeon looked at it and said, ooh, this is not good. But they don't want to do surgery because when you have lymphedema and diabetes, you do not heal well, and surgery can be very dangerous. So they put this special dressing on it that is supposed to gently debride the necrotic tissue, and it can take months. So Friday, I come in to have the bandage changed and everything, and the nurse sits down, and she looks in, and she says, that's odd. I don't know what the doctors were talking about. There's no sign of any necrotic tissue here. I don't understand how three doctors could make a mistake like that. And I laughed and I said, I do, because they prayed for me during the service. And so, praise God, it's healing.
That's awesome. Nice. Yes. They call that bringing dead things to life, right? Anybody else that wants to share, you know, we don't want to talk about your fear and your anxiety. We just want to talk about anything good that happened, because then we'll start getting into the informational. Cool.
I was standing with Beth on whatever night it was, Wednesday night, I think, and we're just praying and just standing in the presence of the Lord. And the tall guy, his wife, Kelly, came up and said to me that the Lord wanted me to know that he honors his word. And I'm like, which one? No, he's not all of them. And so I'm like, thank you for being obedient. And it kind of made me feel good, but then I was like, what, Lord, what is it? And I remembered that I have been on my knees and crying out to the Lord for my children, my adult children that have wandered away from the Lord. And in fact, one of my children moved to California, the even more left place you can go. So that just made me realize that the Lord's been hearing my prayers and that he's going to honor my prayer, that I raise my children up in the admonition of the Lord. He's going to bring them back. And I mean, not in my time, but he will. And
so he's encouraging. Yeah, that's what one of the definitions of prophecy is, that it's encouraging and it exhorts. Okay, I'll be right there. Got to be quick.
The Lord is faithful to confirm. So the day after, Thursday must have been, the reading that I had was 2 Chronicles 34. And essentially was talking about the priest and Josiah finding the law of the Lord in the temple. And in that, they're saying that, Lord, we've sinned. Lord, we need to change. So they threw away all their idols. But coming out of the meeting on this past week, you can see the Lord, his hand is on this area. So we had people coming in. We had people opening up as they have not before. We have Jeff coming in on recovery. Well, there's another pastor coming in from Ohio also on recovery. There's people coming in here saying, we're here to help. We're here to make a difference in this area, because we're saying and believing that says, no more will New Hampshire be the lowest state in the nation with regard to church attendance and Christians. We're believing that with these people coming in, he's saying, this is the time. This is the time for each one of us to take on what the Lord is calling us to do, to be bold in the Lord, to witness, to do his word. So let's go, yeah, as the Lord says.
Amen. Amen. See anybody here? Okay. All right. So I saw Stew Beef.
Just bringing my kids, Kim went Sunday night with the kids, and I was at work, but being there with the kids, it was really amazing to see. I don't know, there was just something changed in them, and it was like a fire was just lit inside my kids, and their eyes just kind of lit up, and it was really just amazing to be there and worship with them and to have them experience that with us. And I know on Monday night, we had driven separately because I came from work right here, and Kim was driving home with the kids, and I'll let her, I can let her tell the story, but she can say it.
Well, our five-year-old said, what was that? I said, that was the Holy Spirit. And he goes, is he going to be there again tomorrow? And I said, he's everywhere, but he goes, I want to go back. And so they asked us, and then when they did the altar call, they were like, tell us when it is, we want to feel Jesus. They wanted to be here.
Yeah, we had a babysitter lined up to be with the kids on Tuesday so we could go, and they're like, no, we want to be there, we want to experience that. So
yeah, that is awesome. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. All right, I'll pass it to Chris. Oh, you want to speak?
I've never been touched like I've been touched this past week. I was up there with my husband on Monday night. We wanted to have the Holy Spirit come into our bodies. And I've never had this feeling before. When he was praying on me, my legs were shaking. I just didn't know what to think, but I was so happy that I was here for that.
And your arm, the numbness in your arm is no longer there. Yeah, that's really cool. All right, Chris has the final one, and then we're going to move into some teachings.
So actually, I just wanted to add to what Daryl said about you don't have to be vetted by an elder. That's absolutely true. However, I don't want that to hold you back from sharing. I'll give you some examples. Daryl and I pray most every Sunday morning together, and people will come in and just share their experience with me, and I'm like, you have to share that because it is pertinent to the message. Share with people. If you think, I don't know if this is right or not, go to someone you trust in here and say, hey, this just came to me. Do you think it's appropriate? Don't just sit there and say, well, I'm not going to share because I'm not quite certain. I've actually had several times someone's come to me and said, is this appropriate to share? And I said, not for the whole group, but you just answered a question I've been praying about for a long time. So you never know when the Lord's speaking to you, who needs to hear it. So don't hold back from that. If you need someone to assure you or give you a little more confidence, because I always try to do that, because I never want to speak out of turn. I want to know it's from the Lord. Find someone. Don't hold back from sharing to the whole group, because I can remember outside of that one time where I knew it was one or two times, it was specifically for me. Anyone who's come to you, I'm like, yeah, you need to share that. It fits perfectly. So trust the Holy Spirit to lead you, guys.
Thank you for further defining, because I'm trying to give you permission, and yeah, that's a great point. That's awesome. Thank you. Okay, so some of the major points that I believe that we're seeing, and by the way, a lot of this is your fault, because 5 weeks ago, our prayer points were, and I have the review prayer points that say, these are what you prayed, okay? God, allow me to be vulnerable enough to admit failure and weakness if it helps pull others out of darkness and rightly reflect your amazing affection and heart for deliverance. And you know what I saw is a bunch of people come forward and say, I need Jesus. I'm weak. I need a fire. I need a return. I mean, right? We saw people come to Christ. We saw people say, I've allowed my fire to go cold, right? So you prayed, Lord, allow me to step forward and admit my weakness, and then you did it. Number two, you prayed, uncover and address issues hiding deeper in my life. Finish what you started and refine what you've already made beautiful. And that's, again, I saw that. I saw prayers for refinement. I saw people making, can I say the word deals? That sounds so unspiritual. Deals with the Lord. Lord, I want to just give you, if you'll just take this. Right? Offer, sacrifice, surrender. Very good. And then you also prayed, let my worship and gratitude be lived out in generosity. And many of you were generous for this with this group, and I appreciate that. So your prayers are actually going somewhere. Well, thanks. Thank you. We appreciate you. God is calling his church to purity and power. And this is part of what Paul was saying, is like people are coming into this area to address needs. But if we, the house of God, are not ready and we're living kind of wishy-washy in our faith, when people who have needs walk in, like if us in our wishy-washiness is the best that we have to offer to people who are hurting, then shame on us. And so it is time. Now is the time. And this week has been just one step, but it's not done just because they're gone, right? This is a time where we need to understand that God is coming and is expecting his church to be walking in purity and in power. And sometimes we struggle with both of those things. Sometimes it's one or the other, but we have to get those things right, okay? The world will no longer tolerate an impure, disingenuous, powerless body of people claiming to represent Christ but missing him entirely. I had to read it because I didn't want to say it any worse, right? The world will not tolerate a church that is faithless, powerless, and not pure and disingenuous, right? We have to do all that is required. And I don't want to live my life in response to the world, but I do understand, right? Everything that we do in response to Jesus ripples out and affects the world, or even worse, has no effect on the world, right? And we are not called to live that way. right? So when I saw you guys approach the throne here, you know, this is not a throne, but you get it. You came forward and you just admitted, I need more. I need you, right? That just makes me so proud of you. Because the alternative, I want to pretend like everything's fine, but I'm just going to remain stuck. I don't want to pester that kind of person, okay? I don't want any of us to be satisfied in our stuck position. And you may see at times I'll push you, I'll challenge you. You know, I don't love it, correct you at times, but, you know, an elder might do that as well. But the goal is not to just shame you for sure. The goal is to watch you surrender and get free. Because we know the power that exists inside of you, and we know that Jesus is bigger than that thing that you're struggling with. And if we just love you and tolerate that thing, we're telling you it's okay to squander the greatest power that's ever existed, who lives on the inside of you and who died for you to be free, and be like, oh yeah, but it's okay. No, it's not, right? Sometimes the Lord, interrupts the ordinary with very extreme moments to capture our attention. That happened, right? So the question is not what just happened. The better question is, why are you getting my attention, God? What do you need? What do you want? And ask it in a positive way, not like, oh, he's back to take something else. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. So the question is, what are you here for now? Like, oh, you're back. What are you going to do now? Right? So we have to ask ourselves, when that extreme thing hit, what does he want? He didn't show up just to offend anybody who could be offendable. He doesn't take joy out of being like, I'm going to tick you off, and I'm ticking you off, and I'm ticking you off. Right? There's no joy in that for Jesus. He's not that kind of guy. He's not an offender on purpose, right? He only offends when religious attitudes try to squelch what he's doing, and then he's like, oh, no, right? And then that offends the person resisting him, okay? So ask yourself this. Maybe you can share it with me or an elder later, or, you know, I'd encourage you to share it with somebody. Why did he shake you up? What is he looking for in a good, positive light? What is he looking for? Right? So cool. I love it. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. It's a lot, isn't it? I don't know that I'll read the whole thing, but I do want to read 1 Corinthians 12, and I'll start in the beginning. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, I will write about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of us, for I must correct your misunderstandings about them. You know that when you were still pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know how to discern what is truly from God. So he's like, there's an agenda on the earth that is to magnify something other than Christ, and we have to be careful of that. And we know some of you got used to get caught up in that stuff. So let's be clear. And let's talk about what the Holy Spirit does so that you can keep your eyes locked on that and not on the alternative, right? No one speaking by the Spirit of God can curse Jesus, and no one's able to say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So if you see something happening in the church and that thing is glorifying the Lord, but it kind of shakes you up a little bit, you can know that the motive was to glorify the Lord and not to row your boat down the stream of Satanism. You know what I mean? Knowing the agenda helps, because at least you may not agree, but you're not like combating someone. You're just being like, that's different. There's a difference, right? Some of you came from churches where you were hurt because maybe a pastor was preaching something like compromise, right? From the pulpit. And you had to make a decision to confront and say, that's not in the Bible. That's actually counter to the Bible. It's counter to God's heart. And it might have hurt you, right? Especially if that person, that pastor, may have called you a name like you're not tolerant, you're whatever, right? Right? And you're hurt. And so your guard is up to guard against anything that's not biblical. Cool. Fine. Keep your guard up. ask God to heal the hurt, keep your guard up. But understand this, if someone is doing something in the spirit and they're saying, but it's to glorify Jesus, Jesus is Lord, their heart is not to lead you down the path of the demonic, okay? And that helps. Then I could say like, oh, that person's kind of cute. Not, they're demonic, and I need to slice their head off, right? Right? Okay. Now, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Holy Spirit who's the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but the same Lord we are serving. Now, we're going to go down a list of gifts really quickly, and I want you to know that that word gift is an English word, but the actual original language is grace. And if you do a search on that term grace, you'll find that in throughout the whole New Testament, it's the same word for the grace of Jesus that saved us, or where Paul said, I'm an apostle by the grace of Jesus Christ, right? So anytime that like you see a gift in the Holy Spirit in action in the church, it's the same grace at work as the one that saved you from being a wretched sinner, right? So if it's all the same thing, how do we take one without the other? Right? If I start saying that gift is not of God, well, then maybe your salvation is not of God. It's the same word. It's the same flow, the same stream, the same Holy Spirit, right? Maybe it all comes down to personal taste. I don't know. Sorry. I have the gift of nasal leakage. Yeah. Not anal leakage. All right. What the heck just happened?
I'm just trying to prove that one.
It should have. It should have. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Verse number 6, we're still in 1 Corinthians 12. There are different ways God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given, or grace, by means of helping the entire church. So just understand this. When we come and bring gifts to the church, our grace to the church, and this includes you, okay? That's why my hand's out here like this and not just here. We don't believe the church is like two or three Supermans and everybody else is peons, okay? We believe that you bring your gift and that your gift builds up the church. Amen. Your grace. Bring your grace, okay? So verse number 8 says, to one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. Right? Sometimes that is called in King James, I believe it is, the word of wisdom. It's from the Holy Spirit, and it's a wisdom that is not just, oh yeah, I've been around the block 3-4 times and I know. It's a supernatural wisdom. To another, he gives the gift of special knowledge. So the word of knowledge, that's when, you know, there was a moment where he was like, there was someone in this row who should have raised your hand, right? That's a word of knowledge. That's like knowing something he should not have known, right? And that's cool. Sometimes we flow in that in all kinds of ways. Just be open to the Holy Spirit putting something in your knower that you should not have known and then reacting to it. Holy Spirit, now that you've shown me, why did you show me? What would you like me to do? What time would you like me to do it? Is it now or wait on it and pray about it and then engage, right? There's like a whole surrender process, but it's a journey, and the Lord will take you on that journey, and he is all about the journey. He's not going to spank you because you missed your opportunity, but he just wants to draw you into journey with him, okay? Right? That was a prophetic word of knowledge kind of a thing, yeah. So word of wisdom, prophecy, word of knowledge, those are all called the prophetic gifts. Also discernment, they're all kind of rooted in the same sort of stream, if you will, back to supernatural Holy Spirit, prophetic understanding, right? Yeah. Yes.
Going about word of knowledge.
Sure.
Sometimes it can be like a feeling of knowledge.
Yeah.
It's not just like a I know a thing, it's like I feel this thing in the body.
Yes.
To me, that's also
yes. So he said you could feel something in the body and not have it in your knower. You've seen that before, like where someone's knee hurts and you just, like, your knee starts to feel something and you're like, I think the Holy Spirit's showing me that someone needs prayer over a knee. And sometimes it's like, I have this sense that five people need to be healed in their knee and five people raise their hand and then it happens, right? There's a healing that was released. So thank you for clarifying that. That's awesome. Yes. Could be. I mean, he is God, so he knows it all, right? But I do know that Jesus moved in the various gifts, and so he's the source of the gift, and that's why we'll, when I ask, you know, we have a scripture here that says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. I want to eagerly desire. I want to be obedient to that. Like, I don't want to just put it on the back burner. I want to put it on the front burner, because if he's the designer of those gifts, then I want to be more like him and have those gifts, right? Another note is I personally have moved in all of them, but I'm not going to say I move in them all regularly. So don't think like you've got one or two and you're done. No, it's like a tool. Here's your tool. Use it. Okay, now take it back. You may not use it for another year, or it might be next Tuesday, right? There's no like rules here about how those things roll out. So we talked about the word knowledge. The Spirit gives special faith to another. So some of us just have this faith that rises up in the middle of impossible circumstances, and it's a real source of comfort and support to people who are panicking if it's done right. If it's not done right, it's just a sense of condemnation. What's wrong with you? God's going to come through, right? But man, when you are the flagpole that everybody can rally around to say, this thing goes this far and no further, and everybody believes because you believe, and then the miraculous happens, you're needed in the body. To different kinds of service in the church, it's, wait, I skipped one, didn't I? Healing, where am I? Verse 9, thank you. The Spirit gives special faith. To someone else, he gives the power to heal the sick. Self-explanatory, right? He gives one person the power to perform miracles and to another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to know whether it is really the Spirit of God or another spirit that is speaking, and that's discernment, right? Still another person is given the ability to speak in an unknown language, and another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Holy Spirit who distributes these gifts, so it's up to him alone, and he decides which gift each person should have, right? So I guess I want to hone in on tongues for a second here, because I would say out of this week, and by the way, I love these conversations, so don't ever not reach out to me, and you're welcome to reach out to the other elders too, but I'm just saying my door is always open to speak about Jesus. So some of you are like, I don't want to cause any problems here, but I have these questions. Great, it's my favorite subject, Jesus, let's talk, right? Serious. It does not bother. It's not stress. It does not scare me. It does not work me up. And oh, great, another person, another issue. I love it. Okay, so let's talk about it. But tongues seem to bother some. And you know, these guys being much more Pentecostal, the Pentecostal movement that happened, there was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in America, which happened at a time where tongues was the centerpiece of that movement. Okay, I've seen plenty of movements even in my young lifetime. Can I still say that? Where I saw, let's say, the centerpiece of that Holy Spirit move of God on that area was healing. And I've been on one where that outpouring was laughter. Like God was healing hearts, doing surgery, and he was gassing them up, man. And people were laughing and crying and being healed and coming off the floor just like set free of stuff that they could not get free of. And why am I crying? Because if you're there, you understand what happened, and it was amazing. Right? And I don't want to manufacture that. You know what I mean? And I've seen other movements where the core and central move that happened in that was prophetic. And it was just like, God was just so detailed. And again, don't want to recreate that. Just want to be what we want to be, right? We've seen an awesome move in 2008, and it started in Australia, and it carried over, and it's still happening in Brazil, and it then hit America, and it was all about worship. And we saw a dynamic change in the way people surrendered and worship from that moment, and it was like you could follow the ark across the globe and watch it happening. It was awesome. And out of that worship movement spawned all kinds of other work that happened, like missions and, you know, like people coming to Christ because they were watching people love on Jesus. And they're like, I want that. Like, that thing is just so real. They're like in connection, almost like a marriage relationship to Jesus. My God, you know, I thought he was theoretical, right? So I just don't want to recreate, but I do want to say, man, God, it moves in these ways. And the Pentecostals, they experienced it in tongues. And so their natural bent is to assume that that's going to continue, right? It's always going to be tongues. And some Pentecostals will teach that if you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit. That's not true. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts to each one. So you could be full of the Spirit but not have any tongues. Okay? And so I don't want anybody to leave this place thinking, well, I didn't get it, so the Holy Spirit must not want to be in my life. That's not true. Sure. And it's a promise that it would happen, you know, and it's also some promises in there about treading on serpents and scorpions. Anybody do that? No? Okay. No dough takers, just tongues. But you get what I'm talking about, right? There's such a diversity. We have to be open to the diversity of what the Spirit is doing. Now, man, I'm going to skip because we're on the tongues talk right now, and I guess we're here, and I'm running out of time. Dang it. Can I read 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2? I have so much more that I wanted to discuss, but I'm skipping it all.
What the heck just happened, part 2?
It's called, What the Heck Are You Doing, Daryl? 1 Corinthians 14, and we have, one speaks in tongues, the one who speaks in tongues, for one who speaks in a tongue, not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. So when you're talking in tongues, please don't assume anybody else knows what you're saying. Right? Unless the Lord has given you an interpretation. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people. Can you say people? People, that means more than one, right? For their upbuilding and their encouragement and their consolation. We call that the three E's if you're reading King James: edification, exhortation, encouragement. Okay, that's how you know someone's prophesying to you, is when those things happen. If you're not being encouraged, edified, or exhorted, that means pushed in the right direction. That means you're being condemned and someone's just like not actually speaking from the Spirit. That's how you know. I know this is also like high level. We could go level 200, 300, 400 if we wanted to, but it's not college. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. Please don't be offended if I said that. The scripture said that. The one who prophesies builds up the church. Okay? So I guess I shouldn't speak in tongues. Well, verse 5 says, now I want you all to speak in tongues. So it's not a useless gift. Matter of fact, the church needs people who are built up to engage people, right? So tongues is like this gasoline in your engine. Blah, 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 blah. Now you're able to do more work because the Holy Spirit is functioning through you with, he's crying out with groans that can't be uttered, with sounds and right, with a language. So we need you to need tongues. We just also recognize that prophecy builds up the church. And so he says, I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater in this instance than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. So what we were seeing was the first Corinthian church, one person would stand up and, you know, share about a healing. And another person would stand up and, I sense God has this encouragement for the room. And then someone else would stand up and just talk in tongues and sit down. And everybody's like, what just happened? Right? And Paul's trying to say that act in and of itself was useless because it didn't bless anybody but the guy speaking. So you might as well do that at home. Okay? Please don't shoot me down yet. There's more than one side to this story, okay? But I want you to understand that if anybody raises their hand and says, I just want to talk in tongues for 5 minutes on the microphone, I'm probably not going to let that happen. I'm just saying, just go direct. Tell me what is God getting to the point of. Right? But man, if you're charging up your engine and getting ready to make a move, go for it. Right. Like I don't know if you probably don't know this. Maybe some of you do. I'm praying in tongues a lot during worship and stuff. And during my times where I'm not actually speaking out loud, I'm not on the microphone personally because I don't want to have to like get into the argument of when or when is it not appropriate. I just do it because it's between me and Jesus, and I'm stirring up that engine so that I'm more usable and useful. And he's yeah. right now. At the same time, there are these moments where people in worship might just be like, sing out your own song. And one guy's singing in English, another guy's singing in tongues, and another guy's just making stuff up and not saying anything, right? And another person's just making noises, and it just like fills the whole room, like let our praises fill the temple kind of a thing. And I don't want to stop and be like, you know what? I hear 100 people, but one dude in the room is in tongues. Stop. I must have an interpreter. Somebody interpret what that man said, right? Because we're all kind of just corporately worshiping, and we have to make room to just let the Holy Spirit come out of us in a way that it comes out of us when it's appropriate, when it's in that kind of place. Is that acceptable? Anybody want to fight? Yeah, Andrew. Come on.
I think the root to all of it really is about freedom.
Yes. Yes.
And not be afraid to be vulnerable to do that. Uh-huh. Because tongues are awkward. They are awkward. Nobody knows other than what your spirit is, unless it's interpreted. God is that is a direct prayer to him. Uh-huh. And we should have the freedom to be able to do that. Because he wants that from us.
Yeah.
He wants us to be positioned and ready for him to move.
Yes. Amen.
That's all you're saying.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. I was running sound on some of the nights, or not sound, but cameras and video, some of the nights, and the Lord challenged me. He just said, start writing down like a log of what's happening in the room during the worship time. Okay? So I started writing, right? And the guy's playing his keyboard. He's back here, and he's singing, and he had an amazing voice, right? And then he just started singing in tongues, and he's like, come on. Then he started singing in English, right? And I'm writing these things down. And what I have here is he was singing the song, I'm Desperate for You. And then he went off in tongues. And then, without saying anything like, I'm changing gears now, right? Make note. He just started saying, arise, arise, the earth is groaning for the sons and daughters of God to be revealed. Now, that was the interpretation. Now, nobody stopped and said, now, thus saith the Lord, this is the interpretation to thine tongue, right? He just was flowing. And so I want you guys to understand, like, there is a place for tongues as long as it's inspiring and moving to another direction. So let's not throw that baby out. And at the same time, let's not all say, hey, let's make 10 minutes of our service designated to nothing but tongues, right? It would just, all the extremes are weird. Can we just, like, and if we disagree on any point, can we express love and concern, and can we work it out even further? Because this is not the end of this conversation just because I'm talking about it, right? I'm not the dad who says this is final. Okay? Sure. It is intimacy. Do you
know the difference between a tongue that's just for you and one that will edify the body that someone else may have an interpretation?
You don't know, but Paul did say, and you're kind of getting out ahead of me, but I'd rather speak 5 useful words in a service than 10,000 words in a tongue. The point is, we've only got so much time, and I'm way over mine. And no, it's okay, but you get what I'm saying. Like, now do we want to use a couple more minutes to talk in a tongue, or can we just go straight for the English word? That's all. So I think the important thing is to say, God, how can you make this more efficient and more of a blessing and just go directly for what you're trying to do? Can I continue on my log? Because once we said, arise, arise, the earth is groaning, then our friend Jason received Christ. Right? I'm just writing these things down, which is so cool. And then the preacher gets up and says, the fire will critically appraise the value and the worth of his work. And it struck me, like all that craziness that was happening, the fire showed the value of what was happening. So who am I to say whether that tongue was like out of turn or not? The fact is, we were seeing salvation happening, and the, you know, it was like song of the Lord, like I'm desperate for you. Now it was a song of the Lord in tongues. Now it's a song of the Lord in English, interpreted tongues. Now it's salvation, and now it's like, it's Burger King. It's his way. Right? Yeah, I had so many hands. Yes.
That's like the thing is, you just have to be willing. Like God doesn't need my permission, you know. And I'm in the perception of I want to see the results. Mm-hmm. I want to see God move. You know, it's not my job. My job is to be willing to receive what God will do.
Amen.
Yes.
You
know? Yeah.
And if He wants to fill me with the Holy Spirit to interpret tongues, in that moment I can understand it, and I may not know it now.
Yeah.
But next week I may.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah. Yes. Sure. Yes.
We're out of time, but I was just kind of raised that and taught that speaking in tongues was sort of like your own personal prayer language. Because mm-hmm. I feel like sometimes when you're in prayer, you really don't have English words to speak.
Yep.
But you're trying to connect with God and you want to pray, but you don't know what to say. Mm-hmm. So like you use tongues as like your own personal prayer language.
Yes.
So I feel like that's like another kind of way to explain it.
Sure. We can probably dive into this deeper. As we go, you know, I'll just have to continue because there's so much here. I'm going to end with this, all right? 1 Corinthians 13, it was probably read at your wedding. But did you know it was chapter 13? This is profound, was sandwiched in between chapters 12 and chapters 14. Impressed. Chapter 12 and 14 and part of 13 is all about the gifts of the Spirit at work. So the love chapter that we rip and apply to weddings is actually not as accurately applied as it would be in the context of moving in the gifts within the scope of the gathering. Can I read it to you? Do you have 1 Corinthians 13? There we go. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, it is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way and is not irritable or resentful. I'd say the insisting upon one's own way has been the maker breaker of the church that I've seen when they've split over these kind of topics. It's always been less about whether God was in it and more about this is my way. I hate this, therefore I will go to war.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? And the context is love. So all I'm asking, and then we're going to break, and I'll just, you know, pray and send you home, but please focus in on this, that whenever we're trying to step out in faith and grow, be patient, be kind, don't envy or boast when someone else is moving in a gift, encourage, be behind them, right? Don't be arrogant, don't be rude, sit down, you're useless, be quiet. That's your opinion, right? And then don't insist on your own way and be irritable, resenting, right? Can we do that because we're family? Okay, that's the challenge of the week. Now, I still want to talk to anybody who wants to talk about this stuff. Again, I love it. Right after church, I will probably be on a plane, assuming I'm not grounded. huh? Okay. You'll hook me up? That's awesome. My own personal hooker-upper. Stu's a fixer. Thanks, man. Let's pray. So, Holy Spirit, first of all, thank you. Thank you that we could be honored to open up this discussion. Lord, it was very high level, very simple, but I feel like what's less important is actually having more of the gifts at play, and what's more important is the bond of family under you, Jesus the head. I feel like, Lord, you want to give some people permission to grow and mature. And I feel like you want to give other people the permission to just be. And I don't want to be the dictator of this. Lord, this is not my vision. It's not some elder board's vision that's going to drive this thing forward. Holy Spirit, if you decide not to show up tomorrow, it doesn't matter what vision is written down on paper or intention that is out there in the creative minds of the creative people. Lord, what really matters is that you're here and that we function together in love as a family, and the rest is just details. I pray that you will bond our hearts together and cause us to move in such a way that, Lord, we are blessing and uplifting and encouraging and building up your church, God. She's your bride, and she's beautiful, and I don't want to tell you any other thing. I don't want to tell you your bride is ugly, insisting our own way and grace. And grace is messy sometimes. Grace drove you to the cross, Jesus. That was messy. But it made all the difference in their life. So, Father, give us courage and validate the things that are of your spirit. Lord, correct us in the areas that are not of you. And Lord, lead us in the way everlasting, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I hope that was useful. I think we'll continue that discussion the following. Yeah? Okay.